Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to another one of these. It's the Trip Formation. Trips Formation, the TFP, whatever you want to call it. It's Tristan Rhines, it's Alex Solis, I'm Austin York. This is what's going to be coming to you every week over the Cowboys season, over the NFL season. We're going to break everything down, and we're first going to start with the Dallas Cowboys. And as we always do, as it should be, because we like to cover America's team, even though these two guys kind of root for other teams, they still have an appreciation for that nice, shiny star that is now 2-0 and looking pretty good in the process. I'll start with you there, Alec. What was impressive? I know there's a lot of things, but what has probably impressed you the most about the game against the Jets, but about the Cowboys in general to start the season?
Well, Austin, I think the obvious answer here is going to be, you know, Micah Parsons was a guy. When Nick Bosa got that extension, I think everybody thought immediately he's going to be the next guy to get it. He's going to overdo that contract by quite a bit. Two sacks, I believe a forced fumble in that game. Look, this is a guy who, coming out, we compared to Khalil Mack in the sense of his versatility. He could be a 4-3 linebacker off ball. He could be a 3-4 edge guy. He does it all so damn well, and it's just crazy how he's probably the face of this team, considering the quarterback, you know, the wide receiver. He's the guy. He is the face of this franchise, and every week he just one-ups it, it feels like.
And that's what I'm looking at with him. It's like he is doing things that I don't think anyone has seen in a long time, in that he's one man playing different positions, but he's got that much disruption in the first two games. And it doesn't show up, especially in the first week. It didn't really show up on the stat sheet, but his impact was powerful. This last week, it was a little bit more evident. But Dan Quinn is saying this guy is only getting to where he thinks he can be. He's getting better, and hasn't quite reached what his potential is. That's got to be scary for anyone that has an idea of, I've got a plan for this guy. How do the Cowboys, if you're a defense or an offensive coordinator, how do you attack this team right now?
I mean, how many heads are on this snake? You know what I mean? Like, they're going to come at you from all different sides. Micah Parsons is what makes this machine go, so to speak. But you've got a really good secondary. Outside of even Micah, of course, you've got DeMarcus Lawrence and a bevy of other just really good support pass rushers that are able to create a lot of pressure, a lot of havoc. You have to commit two guys to Micah every single play.
It's going to open up somebody.
It's going to open up people. It's going to open up opportunities all over the field. And the engine of this entire Dallas Cowboys team, you mentioned Micah Parsons possibly being the face of the Cowboys right now. I don't think it's that far from the truth. Obviously, quarterbacks are incredibly important. Right. But Micah Parsons, man, he makes this entire defense work. And right now that defense is pretty much the identity of the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I think that the defense led the way in both of those wins pretty dominantly. Talking about the offense now, and I'll go to you. You brought up a good point, Alec, and I thought that this, we were talking off air. You were saying, I don't know if I can judge the Cowboy offense. Explain that a little bit more after these first two games.
Well, right, Austin. I think, you know, through these first two games, we've seen CD make some explosive plays. You know, we've seen Tony Pollard make some nice runs and catches. But in reality, the Cowboys get up so big early. I mean, whether it's offensive touchdowns, it's defensive touchdowns, it's blocks on field goals, they get up so big and they just choke the life out of another team. You're not seeing this offense at full throttle yet. You know, it's very much a, you know, just don't turn the ball over. Let's not make mistakes to give the team an opportunity to get back in the game. It's very much a slow offense. And to McCarthy's credit, it's looked good, but you know, the play calling and the quarterback play, it's looked fine, but you just haven't seen it at full level yet, I think.
We talked about this Dallas Cowboys team a lot this offseason, and we talked a lot about how Dak Prescott, his impact for this offense, and how many weapons they've put around him. I think they finally hit that sweet spot for Dak of you've got enough toys to play with. Just, again, you talked about just not turning the ball over. Dak, at this point, his base floor can be ball management. Not turn the ball over, and this Dallas Cowboys team will win. Like, he went, 31 for 38 for 255 and two touchdowns. That's a very impressive stat line generally, but it's been slow, but it works. It doesn't need to be crazy.
And what I thought the Cowboys did, what I liked, I really didn't get a sense of who they were in that Giants game. The Jets game, I got a lot more because I thought what I really liked about them, the Jets didn't do anything to play for CeeDee Lamb. He got open the whole day. They played a lot of zone. They didn't really man cover him much. They really didn't put Sauce Gardner on him on the bench. I think he had one lineup against the guy. And the bottom line is the Cowboys took advantage of that. It's like, look, you're going to give us that. We'll take that all day. Even if it's boring, even if we're not getting everyone else involved, we'll take what you give us. I don't necessarily know. I was thinking about this. If Kellen Moore was the offensive coordinator still for this team, I think the Cowboys probably would have scored more in the game against the Jets. But I think the Jets probably would have scored more, too, because they would have been out, had more opportunities and everything. And I think that's what Mike McCarthy does, is that he slows the tempo down and thinks about the whole picture. Look, I just need to get a victory here. I'll let my defense do their job. I want to get that victory. If we can get it, like you mentioned, Alec, if get up 15, 20 points, and we'll just sit on it, and, mm-hmm. and we'll go from there. And that's what you saw. A lot of Tony Pollard, a lot of run game, and Deuce Vaughn in later points, and Rico Dowdle. So I think that this team looked good offensively, but I kind of agree with both you guys. I don't know if we've really seen, if they've got to make a play, if they've got to go downfield, what that's going to look like quite yet and what kind of play they're going to call.
And sadly, I think that we just haven't seen the Cowboys play anybody premier yet. I know that's kind of a talk. It's like, oh, people are downgrading the Cowboys for not playing anybody. You can only play who's on your schedule. And unfortunately, the easiest chunk of this schedule is the first 3 weeks for the Dallas Cowboys. The New York Giants are just not quite the team that they showed everybody that they were last year. They had a really impressive win against the Cardinals this past Sunday, but they probably shouldn't have been in that position in the first place against this Cardinals team the Cowboys are now playing. Their biggest tests are probably going to come after this upcoming Sunday, but I still look at this team, man, and they are loaded from top to bottom. And asking Dak to not have to do as much is probably about where you want to be with him at the moment.
Right, and I think to Austin's point earlier, I think, you know, what's real interesting about this offense now and the approach is that I think with Kellen Moore, it was explosive plays. It was 50-yard bombs. They wanted to put up points in electrifying ways, right? And I think with McCarthy, it's methodical. It's slow. It's, hey, we're going to take what the defense gives us. We're going to move the chains. Yeah, exactly. And I think you're seeing that with a veteran coach who's been there and done that with a guy like Aaron Rodgers. You're seeing that kind of come to picture now. And while the offense hasn't been there, yeah, give credit to where it's due with Mike McCarthy and the play calling. It's worked. Yep. You know, up to this point, whereas you're seeing Kellen Moore now in L.A.
70 points in the first two games. I mean, that's nothing to scoff at.
So. Yeah, sorry. I don't think you can get better, 70-10 in the first two games. But I will push back a little bit. I think that I don't want anyone to look at the Jets and say, that front four of the Jets might be one of the better in the league.
Yeah.
And so the Cowboys, with two guys that were banged up on their offensive line, were able to take them. And do, you know, Bass, I think, started, and then Awesome Richards, he played as well. So it's like, look, those guys handled them pretty well, and they did a pretty good job against that defense whenever they really needed to. To me, that's a top 10 defense, you know, maybe even top 8, 7, whatever you want to put it.
I have high expectations for that defense alone.
So, yeah, I do think it is impressive what they were able to do with that defense. But I do think, as Alec pointed out, this is a little bit of a team that right now has not been pressed into action. We're not probably going to see that in Arizona. And we can get to that right now before we go ahead and make these predictions and what what we saw across the league. We'll just get this one out of the way. Yeah. I think this might be probably the most boring game of the next week. I don't want to. I hate doing this with the Cowboys, but they're 12.5-point favorites. That could go up. You got who's the quarterback?
Josh Dobbs.
Josh Dobbs. That's right. Josh Dobbs, the rocket scientist. Yeah, who's probably better at that than NFL quarterback. And this team just is probably going to vie for the worst team in football, or yeah. might have that first round pick or that first overall pick.
Yeah, I mean, Kyler Murray's not going to come back for them until at earliest midseason is what I've been seeing. So it's
any way yeah. the Cowboys have a problem with this team at all? Do you see anything?
Me personally, nah.
I mean, the only thing I can think of is obviously when you play down to your opponent and you kind of take it easy after the two big weeks they've had. You know, the Arizona could hang around in this game just because you're relaxed, you're kind of two big wins, and you kind of, you know, you're having a good time, right? Like, that's the only way the Cardinals could make this a game. But at the end of the day, you need talent in the NFL to win. We know that. It's not like college where, you know, a rah-rah and, you know, that kind of stuff works. You need talent. And Arizona, talent-wise, they're one of the worst teams in the NFL when it comes to that. So,
and they've got a rookie head coach at the moment as well. I mean, this is a rebuilding team. I mean,
For sure.
Dallas Cowboys are a Super Bowl contender going up against, like I just mentioned, rebuild. This shouldn't be close. 12 points, I think, might even be a little generous for Arizona.
And the one thing I would say, if there is something that I would, I guess, nitpick with the Cowboys, is the red zone offense. I did a few times wish they got in the end zone a little bit more. I know they were kicking field goals, and I think, you know, to hear them talk, this is exactly how they want to play, because they wanted to give Brandon some more opportunities, and he made all of those opportunities. I really feel a lot better about him today than I did at the beginning of that game. What, I think he hit a 55-yarder or something like that. So I think you might critique the red zone offense, but I think that that'll come around. I'll think they'll be fine. I want to ask you guys this about the NFL this week. What stood out to you? We've got a lot happening today. We're recording this on a Wednesday. But let's just talk about the games first. Was there something that stood out to you? Did you think, wow, all right, we see some surprising 2-0 teams. I'll give you that. Any one of them that maybe could stick around till the end of the year and maybe be a contender for anything?
Tristan, you'll take the first stab at this, you'll meet.
Oh, man. I
got an answer. No bias involved in this.
You go ahead.
I think you look at the Saints, and I'm going to just say this about the Saints. I think through 2 weeks, the offense has struggled at times. The offensive line play hasn't been great. Derek Carr's made a couple boneheaded decisions, but nonetheless, when they needed to make plays offensively, whether it's Michael Thomas, it's Chris Olave, it's Rashid Shaheed, they make the plays. Derek Carr can make these throws when he has protection. And I think when the Saints figure it out, because it's so early on in the year, you know, with the schedule they have, this could be easily an 11-plus win team. And I think at the end of the year, when they figure it out and get comfortable with this offense, they're going to be a scary team with those weapons, I feel like.
As far as biggest surprises within the first 2 weeks of the season, I think it hands down has to be that the Bengals are this ineffective on offense and inefficient, really. 0-2 was not what I expected in the slightest. We talked about this going into week one. I thought Burrow was going to be an MVP candidate and Ja'Marr Chase could be an offensive player of the year guy.
You picked him in the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, I have him as a Super Bowl team.
Yeah.
And the expectations are certainly high. I really am surprised by just how they don't look explosive. They just look like they've been struggling. I mean, defensively, they're doing everything they can to hang into this, but you would expect a lot more from that offense as a whole.
Yeah, I remember that last year they started 0-2. They weren't as banged up this year, I guess, as they were last year. But I think it might be affecting Joey Burrow, his calf still. I think they're going to be okay. I think that we saw the Browns. I was really disappointed with the Browns.
Yeah.
They came out and laid an egg against Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh looked like Pittsburgh. They're terrible. So it looks like it's going to be Cincinnati and Baltimore in that division. I think that Cincinnati will be okay.
The Browns obviously lost a huge piece of their offense. I mean, Nick Chubb, terrible injury.
Yeah, horrible injury. And again, I don't know that after what I saw, I looked at Deshaun Watson and went, wow, that's just
very,
not,
very unimpressive for a guy that's getting
Deshaun
paid as
Watson
much as he
that he was anything like he
Baker's
was.
Baker's 2-0.
Yeah.
And Baker's 2-0.
Yeah. If there is a team that I think is 2-0 that maybe surprised me that could stick around, might be that Baker team. Just because I think the South is not very good other than New Orleans, I think might be the cream of that that crop. I don't buy Atlanta. I watch that Packer game. They've got a good running game. Desmond Ridder can't throw to anything. He's terrible.
Yeah, Green Bay basically handed them that win. That was a game that Green Bay should have won.
And Love is also working with a depleted wide receiver core right now. He doesn't have Watson and a few and Aaron Jones was banged up. I don't think he played in that game. So I think they're if they did that over, they'd probably lose. I look at the NFC and especially the 2-0 teams where I'm seeing it. I think that most of it's pretty much what I thought, other than maybe Atlanta being 2-0. I didn't think they would be 2-0, but still.
I don't think I expected Tampa Bay to be 2-0 either, all due respect.
But it's not surprising, I think, because they didn't play anybody. And it's like these first 2 weeks, anything can happen in the NFL.
Yeah, the first 6 weeks of the NFL season are still at a certain level. We're figuring everybody out still. I mean, it's so early. None of these starting lineups are playing in preseason. And if they are, they're playing maybe 1 to 2 series. You get nothing from your preseason except, oh, who's got really good depth? Now pushes come to shove, and we're kind of getting an idea, but first 2 weeks, it's tough.
What about Philadelphia? And this is what I was going to ask you. Obviously, it pertains to the Cowboys quite a bit in the NFC East.
Yeah.
The Philadelphia Eagles get a win against the Minnesota Vikings on Thursday night. One of those games, again, I just don't like Minnesota at all, especially defensively. But I don't think Philadelphia looked all that great. I just thought they looked they did what they had to do, and I look at Dallas, I look at San Francisco, and I think those are clearly the two best teams in the NFC. Am I wrong here?
No, you're right. No, yeah, I think you're pretty spot on with that. Philly, I think, to me, is a team that I know we praise them for their draft moves in the offseason when it was taking Jordan Davis last year, N'Kobe Dean, and then, you know, this or Nolan Smith, you know, and all those guys. They got to learn how to play the NFL. Guys are bigger, they're faster, they're stronger. The game is just so much faster. It's paced so much faster than college. So I think it's a learning curve for these young guys on this Eagles defense. They got to figure it out. Again, you know, they're 2-0, but I'll throw a team out real quick. Washington. Surprising me. I think the front four is looking good. Chase Young looked really good in that Denver game. And Sam M.F. Howell, man. Eric Bieniemy, they're doing fun things at Washington. They got a fun group of receivers and running backs. And I might lean more towards Washington than Philly right now, in all seriousness. I'm going to be that guy.
I'm not there. I'm not there.
You'll be there than the year, trust me.
Look, I'm just not quite there with Washington. Philadelphia. Yeah, their big issue is they don't really do slow offense, I think, is one of those things. And they have an identity of being a big play team, and that's what their bread and butter so far last year has been and what it looks like they're trying to maintain this year. DeAndre Swift went from being, at least his fantasy numbers, like a 1 point running back to a 27 point running back. There are some big plays later in that game for Philly, but they never quite pulled away from a Minnesota team that they really should have been able to pull away from.
And Kirk Cousins was surgical against
them. He was lighting them up, man.
People give him grief. I think he threw for 354 touchdowns and no picks.
Yeah.
And
T.J. Hockenson had a good night. Yeah. Justin Jefferson had good nights. Jordan Addison had that really deep touchdown later in the game, too. So, yes, Philly's, I don't know, that defense has gotten a little older, and they got a little bit of a mix of youth and vets, but no real in-betweeners, man. Two coordinators gone. It does matter.
All right, let's get to the bottom line, which is the week that is week three, and we're going to start right now with the Thursday night game, which could be an absolute debacle. We hear that Saquon Barkley is out. A couple other guys are out for the New York Giants, and they're going up against the team that I think is right there neck and neck with the Cowboys, throw up a quarter at who's better. That's the 49ers in San Francisco. San Francisco's a 10.5-point favorite. I'm one of those guys that I don't see any way that the Giants stay with them. I didn't think they looked very good against the Cardinals. They had a monumental comeback.
They shouldn't have had to come back that way. You know what I mean? The Giants are just, they were ahead of schedule last year, and now the expectations have been raised, and they're not quite meeting those expectations.
Me and Austin talked about it last week. This is going to be a kind of a coming to reality year for the Giants. And
yeah,
you pay the quarterback, and this is what you're getting.
We got a 10.5-point favorite. San Francisco could demolish that line.
Niners go 3-0 here.
Yeah, Niners are going 3-0.
All right, then we're going to Kansas City, another game that could be a blowout, considering that today was just an absolute bloodbath in Chicago. You had the quarterback blaming coaches, and you had the defensive coordinator resigning because he's in a hell of a lot of problems with, some people report, the FBI. Just, I don't know what's going on in Chicago, but the first 2 weeks looked horrible. They're going up in Kansas City against a Kansas City Chief in Kansas City on Sunday afternoon. The Chiefs are a 12.5-point favorite. This is kind of like the Giants. Any way that the Bears pull off a shocker?
No. this might be a little bit more offensive from Chicago than I think people are expecting. Kansas City looked kind of rough last week against Jacksonville.
The Jags had them.
Jags could have easily won that game. I don't expect the Chiefs to repeat a bad offensive performance twice at any point while they have Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce healthy.
Was week one a good performance for them?
I mean, I'd say it's definitely was better than Jacksonville. But overall, I don't expect them to play bad offense consistently. I think this could be a little bit more high scoring than we're maybe expecting. But yeah, Kansas City should probably still win this by about 10 points, I would say.
Yeah, they should, but they won't. Give me Chicago to kind of come together in this game and kind of shock everyone. And as bad as we've been talking about Justin Fields the first 2 weeks, and he's looked bad. Let them rebound this week on the road. It's in Kansas City, right?
Yeah,
on the road. This would be kind of a big signature win for this team to kind of come back together and get it figured out. Give me the Bears in an upset here.
Mm. All right, Vegas would love to take your money because, and I will too, because that's not going to happen. I mean, Chicago, the thing with Chicago, I've seen so many times like this, is they get so excited about guys, and I don't know what it was about Justin Fields, probably the athleticism that got everyone crazy. But I watched that game last week, and there were so many opportunities where he had to run. He could have run, or he could have thrown to guys. And I think he's just his hesitation. He's got so much running in his brain right now. What do I do? Do I do this? Do I do that? And I think he's just not playing good football right now. That
just feed DJ Moore. Come on, man. Just feed DJ Moore.
Do you have him in your fantasy or something?
Yes.
All right, the guy, the team, I guess, that Alec is all excited about, has a hard-on for, is the Washington Commanders. They're going to be hosting the Buffalo Bills, who got back on the right track last week with a pretty convincing win against the Raiders. The Commanders are actually a 6.5-point underdog of this at home. The Bills continue the train, or is this a Commander upset like you think?
The wagons stop circling this week, Austin. It is the Raiders. You have to remember that. It is the Raiders with Jimmy G at the helm. So give me the Fighting Sam Howells. I'm all for Washington, man. I think the culture's changing, new ownership. Arbienemy's getting that offense cooking. They have a bunch of young weapons. Sam Howell, through two games, he's impressed me. And I think throughout the preseason, he's impressed me as well. And Washington's going to surprise people this year. Chase Young is healthy. Give me Washington.
You know, I can kind of see where you're going with this one.
But will you go with me with this question?
That's the question, right?
Will you go with me?
So here's the thing. Washington has a good defense, but Josh Allen, call him the new age Brett Favre. This man loves turning the football over.
Yep.
So if Josh Allen turns the ball over more than two times, I think Washington can take this.
Yep.
But my heart just can't let me do it. I just can't do it. I'm going to take Buffalo, but I think this one really could be close. It really could be.
I'll tell you what I don't like about Josh Allen that I've seen is he is running an awful lot and taking an awful lot of chances with his body that he doesn't need to be. I saw him try to leap three guys in this last game to get over, I think, at the three-yard line. He tried to leap into the end zone, and he got totally rocked. And it's like, what are you doing, dude? And I've noticed that, the fumbles, but then the picks. I think that what it's happening, there's a cumulative effect here, and I think it's playing with him. I could see Washington win this game. I am going to still go with the Bills because overall I think they have more talent right now. But you're right. If Commanders do win this game, that to me is a signature win a little bit at home. And I do think that there is more of an air about this team, a little bit more excitement now that the new ownership. So I could see it going in the right direction. I just don't know that this is the week that they're going to do it. I hate this team right now, this next team that I'm going to talk about. Because you want to talk about
great
hype.
Transition.
I know that people like Dallas and Dallas is getting all this hype. I'll tell you who's getting a lot of hype. The Miami Dolphins. They're 2-0. They're taking on the Broncos in Miami. Look. This team has played, I don't know, I think they've played exactly nobody really.
Thanks, man.
New England,
appreciate that.
New England is, let's be honest, they're not behind where they need to be.
Yeah.
And Miami has done exactly what Miami needs to do. I don't know. They've let up a lot of points in those games. I just don't see them being anything more than just, I think, a 10-win team. So here's a Bronco team that I think is getting better. I think they got a lot better after the first week against the Commanders. Had some crazy calls there at the end that could have led them to a victory, maybe at least get to overtime. I'm taking Denver in this one on the road.
Sean Payton falls to 0-3. Give me Miami in this game. Yeah. Give me
one. Sweet.
Your pass interference calls do not get called when your coach is Sean Payton. I've learned. So give me. I'm sorry, Denver fans, but give me the Dolphins to end this one.
Miami, while they're healthy, I'm going to take Miami. Not because I don't think the Broncos are getting better, but they're going to have to crawl into getting better. I mean, they had a Hail Mary touchdown last year and failed that 2-point conversion to lose that game. Otherwise, they definitely would not have been close to winning that game. I'm going to take Miami. I just like their offense more. I think Tyreek Hill's going to have a huge weekend.
Well, I hope not. I hope that Denver. I am rooting for Sean Payton. I am rooting for Russell Wilson. I've heard a lot of guys get some criticism, but that guy has really taken it the last couple of years. So I hope he rides the ship. I think he can. I think he will eventually. Two teams that just seem this year to find ways to lose. Vikings are doing it this year. The Chargers have done it for the last decade. Both of them are 0-2. This one's in Minnesota. The Chargers have been very effective offensively.
Yeah.
They have done everything that they've needed to do. Justin Herbert has looked really good. But they just find ways to give up points and lose games and this and that and the other. What say you in Minnesota? Chargers are a 1-point favorite in this one.
I'm taking the Chargers. They have a lot of weapons. Minnesota, it's going to take them at least a year or two to really reestablish a good defense with Brian Flores. I think he's going to be great for that culture, but I don't think he's going to be able to stop Justin Herbert and Keenan Allen and Mike Williams and Quentin Johnston. And Austin Eckler should be back healthy for this game. So, yeah, give me L.A.
See, I would take L.A., but there's just two words in my head telling me not to take them. Brandon Staley. Yep. The Chargers, man, they're so frustrated. Brandon Staley's a defensive-minded guy. They sign all these big veterans, J.C. Jackson, Khalil Mack. They had Derwin James, Joey Bosa, Asante Samuel Jr. they drafted. And what do you have to show for it? You're a bottom-tier defense in the NFL, and you got cooked by Ryan Tannehill and the Titans last week. At the end of the day, the Chargers, to me, are going to charger themselves again, and we're going to see Brandon Staley fired by midseason, ultimately. And, side note, Cam Akers versus Alexander Mattison, the most mid of mid battle for running back one. So, yeah, give me the Vikings of this game.
This is a Charger game. They need to win this. Brandon Staley, I thought he was playing for his butt last week. I think he might be this week. I mean, they can't go to 0-3. This team does have some talent, especially on the offensive side of the ball. Even defensively, they've got some guys that can make some plays. So, if they go to 0-3 and I'm ownership, I'm looking at them saying, I got to do something drastic before this thing really gets out of hand and this season is over.
Yeah.
So I could see him playing for his job.
You think they would drop Staley and put in Kellen Moore? Because Kellen Moore was a big head coaching name for a long time.
I think Staley is gone. I don't know if they want to go with Moore. I think partly because of what I've heard, Moore just doesn't have that gravitas yet.
Yeah.
I don't know if he can command a locker room. Maybe it's the little kid face. I don't know, the baby face on him. Whatever it is, I just don't think he's quite there. I think he will be eventually, maybe a Norv Turner type on the way up. But I just don't know if he'd be the guy. But I do think Brandon Staley will probably be fired. They go to 0-3. I can't, especially if this gets out of hand in this game. The next one, Colts and the Ravens. The only real news here is that the Colts are not starting Anthony Richardson. He's out. That's the rookie that they drafted fourth overall. It's going to be Gardner Minshew in
Minshew
this one.
Mania.
Yeah, who I've always been a fan of. I've always thought he is. I remember last year against the Cowboys, he came in as the Philadelphia Eagles quarterback, played pretty well against a pretty good defense. I don't see him pulling off an upset here. I do think he might calm the offense a little bit. And I think it's closer than the 7.5 that Baltimore is giving But I think that the Ravens win at home.
Yeah, this one feels like a layup to me. I think Baltimore should easily take this one. Not really a lot to say, but it should be Baltimore's day.
It should be Baltimore. I think credit to, why is the head coach's name? Just skip
him. Jim Harbaugh?
No, Indy. Shane Steichen. Steichen from Philly. Credit to him for how he's used Anthony Richardson through his first two games. He's done the most with a depleted offensive roster, so... Despite that, no Richardson. The running game is still kind of a big question mark. Baltimore will handle business pretty easily.
All right, then we've got the surprise 2-0 team versus a team that I thought would probably be 2-0 at this point, the Atlanta Falcons versus the Detroit Lions in Detroit. I think this is a pretty easy one for me. I think Detroit ends any kind of BS that Atlanta's got. I think it will be close. I don't think there's going to be a blowout here. But Atlanta's got a good running game, and like I mentioned, they've got no quarterback. I'm going Detroit here, given the three. I don't care.
Yeah, give me the Lions. They even with a tough loss last week against Seattle, a lot of fight, and that offense still looks good, man.
Yeah,
I think they're going to be a lot more consistent in this matchup. Atlanta, they have to rely on the running game. Detroit actually has a pretty good front four, so I'm going to take Detroit for that reason.
Yeah, you just got to show me a Desmond Ridder highlight from the offseason, and I'm already convinced the Lions by 50 in this game. Yeah. The Falcons should not be close, and yeah,
that was the thing. I don't know what they see in this guy.
They see Caleb Williams in this guy. That's what they see.
And that's it. but you're 2-0.
They're 2-0, but they still have plenty of games they could lose. Don't worry.
All right, we've got somebody here that likes to red, white, and blue Patriots a lot. And then they're taking on the Jets in New York, and we saw what the Jets did against Dallas. I really am concerned. I don't think that Zach Wilson is going to survive. And I don't mean physically. I think he's going to lose his job after maybe this week, maybe possibly in this game if New England. I think New England played good enough to win both those games at points. I think they win this one. I don't see a problem here.
No, I mean, no skew at all. The New England Patriots they should walk into this one with at least some confidence. I mean, they could have beaten Miami last week. It's just a little bit of an ineffective offense. They're still trying to find a new identity. Bill O'Brien, new offensive coordinator, or once again, trying to clean up all that muck that they've had the last few years. But they should beat this Jets team. And the Patriots defense is no joke. Watching this defense, they're able to apply pressure. They got a good secondary, man. New England should win this one, even if it's going to be kind of ugly.
Yeah, I think, you know, two things about that Patriots. The Patriots so far through this season, one, Christian Gonzalez is legit. He's a legit starting corner in the NFL. He absolutely went on Tyreek Hill, did his job, and did it very well. And I think through two games, the offense is figuring it out. But with Bill O'Brien and Mac Jones, I'm seeing a more confident Mac Jones when it comes to making throws, making reads, and getting his guys the ball. Having said that, Patriots should win this game. And I think, as Austin said, Zach Wilson will be benched at some point pretty soon.
Yeah, and the only problem is I don't really know who they're going to bring in. I mean, I don't know. I mean, who is the backup to Zach Wilson?
I don't know.
Tim Boyle?
And so if Tim Boyle, but
wow,
they
I'm
haven't,
shaking in my boots.
I've thought that they were going to go out and pick up somebody, but I haven't seen anything
Matt Ryan's still out there and technically a free agent.
Famous James.
I guess you can make a trade, but speaking of, this to me could be one of the most intriguing matchups this week, and this is the New Orleans Saints going to Green Bay to take on the Packers on a Sunday afternoon. I think the way the Packers played against the Bears, I know it's the Bears, but I thought they were very effective. And I thought they were effective against Atlanta for most of the game. It's going to be interesting to see if New Orleans can shore up some of their offensive issues. But I'm going to take Green Bay at home against New Orleans to get to 2-1 and give the Saints their first loss. I don't know. I think that they're due. I know the Saints have a better defense, but I think that they're going to get the Packers are getting healthy. And Love, to me, has seemed to be a little bit comfortable in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go. I mean, the Packers are going to be down Bakhtiari and Elton Jenkins. On the left side of the line is going to be totally full of backups. The Saints can get pressure with four very effectively. And I think the offense will figure it out. I don't know if it's this week or not, but I still think the talent they have on paper is better than Green Bay. And I'll take New Orleans on this one.
I think I'm going to go New Orleans, but this one should be pretty close. New Orleans looked, they actually had a really tough time against the Carolina Panthers last week. They have some good offensive players. I like what New Orleans has with Derek Carr. Michael Thomas is looking actually pretty good. Hopefully he can stay healthy. But Green Bay's got a sneaky good defense. I don't think they get quite enough credit for that. I think Jaire Alexander is going to have a big part to play in this game. If he's able to take away a lot of those passing options, it's going to be a slower day, but I think New Orleans can eke this one out.
And the one thing I will say about New Orleans is I believe they're down Jamal Williams this week.
Yeah,
and
they'll get Kendra Miller
is going to be the first. It's going to be his first start, right?
Mm-hmm. For and Tony Jones.
So we're going to see kind of a depleted, very very thin backfield, but they do like Kendra Miller. I mean, he was a pretty high draft pick. Was it your second round or third round? Okay, all right. I won't go very much into any of these because to me they're pretty quick here. Texans Jags in Jacksonville. I think
Jacksonville.
We can all say Jacksonville here. Titans Browns in Cleveland. Maybe a better game. I don't know if anyone wants to watch that game.
Sure.
I'll take Cleveland just because it's at home. I think the Ryan Tannehill days are coming to an end pretty quickly.
Yeah, they are, but the Titans just beat the Chargers last week. Mike Vrabel is a very good head coach, as we've seen. Coaching does matter, a la Brandon Staley in that game. So give me the Titans in this game.
I'm right there with you, actually. Derrick Henry, man, that's kind of the solution here. I know Cleveland has a good defense generally, but Cleveland's offense looked pretty ineffective last week against a good defense, so I'm going to take Tennessee.
All right, then we got Carolina in Seattle. Bryce Young, he's just not putting it together yet. Maybe he will.
Yeah, and
he was banged up. I know, just like Detroit, I think going to Seattle, in Seattle, that's always tough, and it doesn't matter what kind of team they've got. So I'm going to take Seattle in this one. They're a six-point favorite. I don't really know how Carolina is going to be able to hang with them.
Yeah, give me Seattle in this one as well. Just a lot more offense. Carolina, their biggest issue is their receivers can't separate. Nobody can get open for Bryce, even if Bryce is putting it right in their numbers.
It's 30-plus-year-old Adam Thielen and DJ Chark, who is just a one-trick guy.
Yeah, so I'm taking Seattle.
And the last one, the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Las Vegas Raiders. Raiders and Steelers, in the 70s, this would have been the biggest game of the of the week. This is a Sunday night football game. Excuse me. Doesn't seem too exciting to me. I'm going with the Raiders to win at home, though.
Ooh, give me Pittsburgh. They kind of bounced back offensively after a rough week one, so they got to figure it out, but give me Pittsburgh.
I think I'm going to go Pittsburgh as well. I think they're really going to start to lean on that running attack. They really seem to like Jaylen Warren a lot. I think Najee Harris is finally going to, have a performance. He's been pretty bottled up the first couple weeks, but Raiders have a weaker defensive line, so give me them.
And I don't know why they're doing this, but a couple of Monday Night Football games again this week.
There's no bye weeks.
Yeah, and so you've got the Eagles and Buccaneers in Tampa on Monday Night Football, the first game, and then the Rams and Bengals in Cincinnati. I'd love to see Tampa and Baker Mayfield slap the Eagles in the mouth. I just don't know that they're going to be able to do that. I'm taking the Buccaneers, and I'm taking the Bengals big to get back on track in Cincinnati.
I will pick the Fighting Baker Mayfields as well. The NFC South will have 2-3-0 teams when it's all said and done after this week. So give me Tampa. If Burrow plays, give me the Bengals. If he does not play, the Bengals are going to fall to
0-3.
They'll fall to 0-3. I think the Rams will kind of take care of them.
Yeah, I'm going to take Philly. I think their pass rush is going to really dominate the Buccaneers' offensive line. So as much as I love Baker, give me Philly. And then L.A. and Cincinnati. I mean, it really does kind of come down to that quarterback situation. If Burrow's actually going to suit up and play, I'm going to take the Bengals. So let's just go with that.
I think that the Bengals have to win this game. If they go to 0-3, look, they went 0-2, and they made the playoffs, won that division last year. I don't think that there's any panic. But if they lose a third game to start 0-3, I think that panic might start to heighten a bit this week. So you heard it from the Trips formation. I'm Austin York, Tristan Rhind, Alex Solis. Until next time, have a good one, guys.